Certainly we have enjoyed the worship service up until this point, and we are thankful to Brother William Prowell, who's led us in our song so good this morning, and Brother Larry Reese, who worded our prayer, and Brother Solomon Stephen, who read our scripture. We want to welcome you to our services this morning. Our minister, Brother Amanzo Jones, is in San Antonio, Texas, for their family reunion. And we announced that earlier this morning and last Sunday as well. But we're delighted to have this morning in Brother Jones's stead, Brother Jerry Holman from Franklin, Tennessee. Brother Holman has spoken for us on several occasions before, and we're just delighted to have him with us this morning. Brother Holman comes from a family of preachers. His daddy was a preacher. He preached for years at the Petersburg congregation down in Marshall County. And his son is following in his steps. Brother Holman informed me that in the future, probably he will be preaching with the congregation in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. And we're delighted. He was the minister at the Cummins Street, is that right? Cummins Street congregation for many years. And certainly we are thankful to see Brother Holman and see that he's doing fine, because he was in a very bad accident almost several months ago. And to look at him, you can't tell it, but we're just delighted to see him this morning. Brother Holman will be our preacher this morning as well as tonight, and we're looking forward to have a very good day in the Lord with him. For those that know Brother Jerry Holman, I want to present him to you. And those that do not know Brother Jerry Holman, I want to introduce him to you. Our speaker for this morning is Brother Jerry Holman.
Jesus arose with all power in his hand. And they tell me that he died one Friday. I know that he rose one Sunday morning. Jesus arose with all power in his hand. They tell me that the angel came down from glory, and he rolled the stone up. They tell me that the angel came down from glory. The angel came down from glory. I know that he rolled the stone away. Jesus rose with all power in his hand. You know, Jesus rose with all power in his hand. You know, Jesus rose with all power in his hand. And they tell me that he, I know that he rose one Sunday morning. Jesus rose with all power in his hand.
Amen, amen. And let the church say amen. Amen. Glad to be here this morning, you ought to say amen. Amen. You're glad to be a child of God, you ought to say amen. Amen. You're glad that Christ came and died and shed his blood on Calvary, you ought to say amen. Amen. If you're glad that you have a chance to live eternally forever, you ought to say amen this morning. Certainly we're just glad to be here, glad to be in the house of the Lord. And we're just glad that God have touched our lives and enabled us to rise on this morning, because there was a many a multiplied thousand who laid down last night and was not able to rise on this time side of life. And for God granting us just one more day, we all ought to say thank you. We ought to say thank you, because God has brought us from a mighty long way. You know, sometimes it takes some trials and tribulations that you have to go through some things. When I was laying up there in that truck, amen, amen, I was sitting still and got hit at 65 miles an hour by another truck. And you know, I was laying up there in that truck, and I was thinking to myself, if God should see fit to call me on home, I feel like I'm praying that I'm ready to go. But now, if he wants me to stay here, I'm not going to object. Amen. I'm going to be glad. Amen. So he seemed fit to keep me in the hollow of his hand. And we want to say to all of you, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your support and all the things that you've done for us as we're trying to recuperate. I'm still having problems with my eyes. I can't see that well. I can see okay, but I can't see that well. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to use y'all brothers, if y'all don't mind. I'm going to let y'all read for me today. Amen. Let y'all help me preach this thing. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 1. And we want to take a look at, I'm going to read just verse 16. We appreciate the brethren who have come before us and all that they have done in preparing us and getting us ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. And I also have some guests with me today. I have Brother James Glass and his family with me on today. And Brother Glass is from the Hickory Street Church of Christ down in Greenville, Alabama. If you don't know about Greenville, you go to Montgomery and keep on going. Amen. Yeah, down there. Amen. About 50 or 60 miles south of Montgomery, Alabama. We're just certainly glad to have them with us on this morning. Zechariah chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 16. The Bible said, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. And I just want to get a thought from that verse on this morning as we're about to present our lesson, a thought of going back to Jerusalem. Amen. Going back to Jerusalem. It is often sometimes good to go back in order to go forward. It's good sometime to know the origination of the church in order to take the church forward. Because sometime as you're going along, you'll veer off course. You'll lose your way sometime. And if you lose your way, I tell you, my friend, it is good to go back to the former, to the old church, and gain our way. I remember when my daddy used to love to get the truck stuck down in the barn lot. It seemed like he loved it. Amen. He'd get down there because every time he drive down there, he gets it stuck. Amen. But he would go up there and he would spin and go on and he wouldn't get anywhere, so he'd back up. And he'd get him another start and he'd get off his track a little bit and then he'd back up. But after a while, he'll hit the mark, if you will, and he'll come on out of there after he burned the clutch out. But I ain't gonna say nothing. Amen. So it's good sometime to go back. You know, sometime when folk get off course, it's good to go. When I used to get lost, amen, sometime I had to go back to where I started, amen, to where I thought I got lost and start all over again. Well, you know, I believe sometime in the church, I believe within the religious body and the religious realm today that it's good to go back sometime and go back to the roots, to where it all started, you see. And then if you go back and examine and find that what you are doing and the church that you belong to is not started in the right place, that you will examine that thing, that you, since you went back, that you will examine it, and then you will correct that and do something about it and do it now. Because there is a sense of urgency, my friend. The Bible said, no man knoweth the day, nor the hour when the Son of Man shall return. You know, but it's one thing that is certain and for sure in this life. One day you're going to have to die. And one day you're going to have to stand before God in judgment. And now the problem, the question then becomes, where will your soul spend eternity? So what we want to do today is to go back into our roots and find out about the church, the structure of the church, and the future of the Lord's church. Now, I said earlier, now, if you find that wherever you are worshiping is not, as was not started in this place in the Bible, I stopped out to tell you today, my friend, you ought to make a change. You ought to make a change. Zechariah 1:16, the Bible said, therefore, thus saith the Lord. Now, this Zechariah is letting you know that this is not Zechariah talking. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. This is God talking. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned. I'm going back. I'm going somewhere. Where are you going, Lord? I'm going back. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. What you going to do, Lord, when you get there? He said, my house shall be built in it, and a line shall be stretched forth from Jerusalem. So therefore, Jerusalem plays a vital part and a vital role, because Zechariah is prophesying about those things which are to come. Those things are which are going to happen after a while, by and by. Amen. Look at it very closely. He said, I'm going back. That's what return means. Yes, so if I walk across this stage here, and I say, well, I got to go back. Yes, so I'm returning, so I've got to go back. In other words, wherever I started from, I need to go back. Yes, amen. Christ said, the Lord said, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. He said, my house shall be built in it. Now, I want you to see something here. Notice he said, whose house? He said, my house. So when he said, my house, that means that all houses does not belong to Christ. He only has his house. He said, I'm returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. And then he put an exclamation point on it and said, saith the Lord. I'm going back. Now, come on, brothers. I need y'all to do some reading. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Now, I need another brother to get from me. I believe I want Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. I want Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 44. Daniel 2 and 44. Now, somebody else can get Matthew 16 and 13, and I'll be there in just a moment. And if you read fast, I'm going to sit down fast. Luke 24 and 49, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4, Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Amen. Y'all not reading yet? Amen. Amen. Zechariah 1:16 said that the Lord said, I'm returned to Jerusalem. I'm returned to Jerusalem. I want you to know the emphasis that they're putting on the city of Jerusalem. I'm returned to Jerusalem with mercy, and my house shall be built in it. Then Isaiah prophesies about that kingdom and that house in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. If you have it, read it. He said, now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow under it. Said there's going to be many people that's going to come and say, let us go up into the house, up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Notice how Jerusalem has got to be in the picture, because that's where God said, I'm going back to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built
in it. Isaiah talked about how the law is going to go forth out of Zion, but the word of the Lord from the city of Jerusalem. Look in Daniel chapter 2, and let's take a look at verse number 44. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 44. What you got to understand is here in this context that Babylon was in control. And Babylon had set up a kingdom there, and they was in control. But you see, there was going to be some more kingdoms set up after the Babylonian Empire. There was going to be the Persian kingdom. Then there was going to be the Greeks. And then there was going to be the Roman kingdom. And when we get down here, it talks about the Roman kings and the Roman kingdom that was going to be set up. But the Bible said, Daniel talking in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 44, Daniel said something. What did Daniel say? And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven, he's going to set up a kingdom. He already said, I'm going back to Jerusalem with mercy. He said, my house shall be built in it. Then Isaiah said that the law is coming out of Zion, but my word is coming out of Jerusalem. Then he said, in the days of these kings, saith God, shall that God, the God of heaven, set up a new kingdom. He's going to set up a kingdom, read, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it's going to stand forever. That's God's kingdom. That's not man's kingdom. Because man's kingdom, you see, will be left to other people. It will not consume anything. Man's kingdom is only going to stand for as long as man shall live. But God's kingdom is going to stand forever. He talked about that kingdom. He said, I'm going to build my church. He said, I'm going to establish, going back down to Jerusalem with mercy. He said, I'm going to build me a house. Then he said, when I build that house, he went on back down there. He said, the law is going out of Zion. He said, the word is coming out of Jerusalem. Then he said, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven is going to set up another kingdom. He said, one that's not going to be left to men. He said, one that's going to break into pieces and consume all of these other kingdoms. And that kingdom of God is going to stand forever. But I've got to find it. Where was that kingdom established? That kingdom was built in the city of Jerusalem. Now let's go on over to the New Testament. I don't want to run over time, amen. But let's go over to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and I believe I want verse number 13. Matthew 16, 13. Now, for time's sake, another one of your brothers get from me Luke 24 and 49. Then another brother get Acts 1 and 4, and we're going to conclude this thing, amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13, if you haven't read it. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom the men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Read. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Read. And he I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to show you something. Now, watch how the prophecy worked. Watch how it came down through the stream of time. Now, y'all stay with me now, because I want to take us on a journey back down to the city of Jerusalem. Now, watch it. He said, I'm returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. He said, the law is coming out of Zion. He said, the word is coming out of Jerusalem. He said, he's going to set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, that shall never be left unto men, that shall break into pieces and consume all of these other kingdoms. Then on down through the stream of time, you come here, and Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He is establishing that kingdom which they talked about in the days of old. The prophecy, they prophesize about this kingdom. That's what kingdom. What rock are you talking about, Holman? I'm talking about that rock of truth that Peter said when he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, said, flesh and blood shall I have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, God spoke through Peter. When he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that rock, upon that truth, he said, I'm going to build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to show y'all something. All churches does not belong to Christ. Although there's a lot of churches who worship God, amen. Whereas that we do worship the same God. A lot of us do, amen. Worship the same God. But the scripture said, in vain they do worship me, because they are teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, you can't have the wrong teaching and worship God the right way. It doesn't work that way, amen. But Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And he built his church. Now, I want you to understand, remember, Jerusalem is still in the picture. Y'all with me? Amen. Jerusalem is still there. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I want verse number 49. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49. Luke 24 and 49. Anybody have it reading? He said, and I behold. I sent the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Read. Until you and be endued with power from on high. Now, I want to show you something. Now, I know I keep saying it, but I got to get you to see the picture. Is that right? You see, he said, I'm going back down to Jerusalem with mercy. I'm going to build my house in the city of Jerusalem. The law is coming out of Zion, but the word is coming out of Jerusalem. This kingdom I'm going to set up is not going to be left unto men, but it's going to take and stand forever. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he told his disciples, his hand-picked apostles, he told them to go down and tarry in the city of Jerusalem, because there's something that's going to happen down in the city of Jerusalem. What's going to happen? You're going to be endowed or endued with power from on high. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to go on for time's sake now, because I don't want to keep you too long, because I'd like for y'all to come back on tonight. Amen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you act like you get enough the first time. Amen. Amen. Look over there in Acts chapter number 1, and I want verse number 4. Acts chapter 1, and I believe I want verse number 4, if I make no mistake. Read verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, if you have it, read it. He said, and been assembled together with them commanded them that they may that they should not depart. Listen to that. He came to them and he commanded them and told them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Read. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. Now, what is it saying? What promise is it talking about? Stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There's something about that city of Jerusalem. For time's sake, we're going to try to move on. Acts chapter 2. Let's go back up a little bit. Acts chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 11. And you know that, and read the 11 and following. You'll see there that they were standing there when the Lord was getting ready to ascend back into heaven. You know, that's the time that he made the elevator out of a cloud. And he stepped on the cloud and he rode the cloud back up into heaven. And they were standing there gazing, and they couldn't believe what they saw. There were two standing there with white and white raiment, and said, "Why, you men of Galilee?" Said, "Why you stand here gazing?" Said, "The same way you seen him go up." Said, "He's coming back again that same way." In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, that they've been promising and telling them, "Stay in Jerusalem." The promise is that you're going to be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible talks about when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all one accord in one place. What one place were they at? In the city of Jerusalem. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a wind and a rushing mighty wind, and it said, "Fill the house where they were sitting." And it goes on and said, "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And if you drop on down, I believe around verse 14, you'll find that Peter and the other 11 stood up with a loud voice, and he started preaching the first gospel sermon. If you drop on down a few more verses, you know what I like about Peter? Peter didn't preach none of them old watered-down sermons either. Oh, Peter wasn't easy with him. Peter told him, you drop down a few more verses. It's in there. All you got to do is read it. Amen. He told him, he said, "Yeah, let me tell you what you done. You are the guilty one." Said, "You took Jesus by the determinate counsel. You crucified him and you slayed him." Now, that's about as straight as you can get. Is that all right? Let me tell you what that straightness done. Let me tell you what that straightness done for him. Look in verse number 36. He said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, both the Lord and Christ." He said, "The ones you crucified, God made him both Lord and Christ." And let me show you how that straightness, let me show you how being blunt and straight down the line, what it done. The Bible said in verse number 37, "Now when he heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And he said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Is that all right? The gift of the Holy Ghost was the promise. God delivered on the promise. He told those 12 hand-picked apostles, "Stay in Jerusalem, and that until you would be endowed or endued with power from on high." And when they got that power, there was in the form of cloven tongues like as a fire, they started speaking in other tongues. Some folk thought they were drunk. Some folk thought they were crazy. Is that all right? But if they wasn't drunk nor were they crazy, it was God speaking through them, through the Holy Spirit guiding them. The tongue is the Holy Spirit, and God gave them utterance. Preach the first gospel sermon. Told them they needed to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then it dropped on that air and said, in the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And if you don't know, that was the beginning of the church. Now, let me tell you something, my friend. If you go back to the history of your church and you find that your church was not started in the city of Jerusalem, on A.D. 33 on the day of Pentecost, but you find that it might have been started in 606 A.D. by Boniface III, I want you to know that you need to go back and make a change, because Jesus said, I'm coming again. I'm coming back for my church. I'm coming for the church that I established. I'm coming for the church that I built. Acts 20 and 28. Brother, let's go to Acts 20 and 28 very quickly. I'm coming back again. I'm coming back to receive that church unto myself. I'm going to present it to myself, because it's going to be a glorious church, one without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Now look over there in Acts 20 and 28. What did the Bible say? Said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all to the flock in which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. Read. To feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus bought that church, and he's coming back for that church. Now, if you find yourself in a place that were the church that Jesus did not build, and you find your church in a situation, and you find yourself in a situation to where you're attending or you're worshiping somewhere that Christ is not coming back for that church, I want you to understand you need to make a change today. We need to get back to the city of Jerusalem. Now somebody say, in some of those churches that man built, that baptism is not essential to soul salvation, but yet they had baptism at the beginning of the church. That's written in the Bible. Somebody say it's not essential to soul salvation. Now I'm not going to give you my opinion. I want to let the Bible speak. Is that all right? Come on, brother. Two more scriptures and we're going to be out of here. Let's get 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 10, and we got to talk about this baptism thing. Now another brother, get from me, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We got to talk about this thing. We got to talk about this baptism thing, because there's too many religious organizations that believe today that baptism is just an outward show of an inward grace. There's too many religious organizations today who are making a claim that you are saved before baptism. There are too many religious organizations today that are saying that baptism does not do anything for you. All it does is get you wet. Amen. That's what a lot of them are saying. But I beg to differ today. I beg to differ on God's word today. Is it all right? And I'm going to use God's word to prove what I'm saying. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 10. What did the Bible say? He said, Paul said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also attain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now I want to show you something. Listen to the word of God. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain, if you got a pen, a pencil, underline that in your Bible, they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, there's something that's in Christ Jesus. What is it? There's salvation in Christ. There's eternal glory in Christ. Notice where salvation and eternal glory is. It is in Christ. Now, notice a few words before that. Paul said that they may obtain the salvation. You've got to obtain it. It's not given to you. You've got to obtain it. You know, Brother Daniel, you can hand me $1 million, and if I don't reach out and obtain it, I'll probably tear your arms off, but I'm never saying that. Amen. But if I don't obtain it, you can offer it to me all day long, and it does me no good. Until I obtain that salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Salvation in Christ Jesus, eternal glory is in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? Let's find out. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27.
For as many of you,
he said, for as many of you
have been baptized
into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, what I need for you to do, if you don't mind, just for a minute, what I need for you to do is I need you to slow down just a little bit. And I want you to read that again. so we can get it. Is that all right? And he said, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
For as many of you as were baptized.
Hold on a minute now. Let's get the word. You're going too fast. Let's slow down. Slow down. As were baptized. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They say it is not essential. But as were baptized. Said it don't do nothing for you. But as were baptized. Where?
Into.
Woo, listen to that.
Right.
Into Christ. Have done what?
Have put on Christ.
What does baptism do? Baptism puts you into Christ. Why is it so important to be in Christ? Because there is salvation in Christ. Because there is eternal glory in Christ. And if you don't, by you are baptized into Christ, you are obtaining that salvation when that eternal glory, which is in Christ. So baptism does done something for you. Baptism is essential to soul salvation. I want you to know today, my friend, he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back for his own. But this time, let me tell you something. John chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I said, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I'm coming again. And I'm coming back. He said he's coming back. And y'all can believe this one thing. He's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming again. He said, I'm going to receive you into myself. That where I am, there you may be also. He said, he's coming back. You know, he came the first time. He came in shame. Oh, but when he comes back, he's coming in glory. The Bible said that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, born in a stable, y'all. He came in shame, but the next time he comes, he's coming in glory and in splendor. First time he came, he had to come incognito because they were trying to kill him. Is that all right? But the next time he comes, the Bible said he's coming, and it said that the mountains will be abased, that the valleys will be exalted, and here all, every eye shall see him coming in glory. He ain't got to hide no more. Is that all right? First time that the Lord came, he came riding a barred donkey up to the city of Jerusalem. But when he come back, he's coming back on a cloud with his mighty angel, taking vengeance on them that knoweth not him and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came the first time. He hung, bled, and died. But when he comes back again, he's going to sit, reign, and rule. Is that all right? Hey, amen. It's going to get good to me. Let me quit. Hey, amen. Hey, amen. But just remember, my friend, God is coming back. He's coming again, and he's coming for his church. He's going to present to himself a glorious church, one that has not spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such like thing. Why don't you come to him today? If you're standing a guilty distance from God, you ought to come to him today. Recognize that you're standing a guilty distance from God. Recognize, and through godless sorrow, be sorry for what you've done. And through godless sorrow, make the confession. Confess your faults, the Bible said, one to another. And request the prayer of the righteous, because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, the Bible said, it availeth much. If you're here this morning, and you're not yet a member of the Lord's church, you're standing on deadly ground. You're walking on a deadly ground because nobody knows the day nor the hour. You could leave here, God forbid, that you could leave here today and be in a car accident and never see, walk on this time side of life again. Now, if you die, where will your soul spend eternity? If you die today, you have the opportunity, and you're fixing to have your opportunity right now to get your life right. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, let me tell you something. It's not a hard thing to do. We don't ask you to do a whole lot of things. We don't ask you to get up and tell any kind of testimonies and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that. If you're sitting out here in the pew, as we get ready to stand, we're going to stand and see you ready to sing the song. Walk out the aisle. Step on down this aisle. Give me your hand, but give God your heart. We'll ask you a plain and simple question. We'll have you make your confession. You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it.
If you say any more, you said too much. If you don't say that, you hadn't said enough. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll prepare you. The clothes are ready in the back. The water's ready. Heaven is waiting for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? I know a lot of people don't like to think about death. Now, what I want you to do, I don't want you to sing yet. I just want you to stand on your feet. Everybody just stand up, stand up, stand up. Because, see, sometimes this is the hardest step. It's the hardest step to take the first step. It's the hardest step is the first step. But you know what? I wouldn't be afraid today. Nor would I be ashamed. I'd walk out today. If I was not a member of the Lord, I'd walk out today. If I was standing in guilt today, I'd walk out today. I'd do something about it today. Because you know what? This may be the last time. Amen. You just don't know. There was an old song we used to sing back down in the country. I hope y'all know this song. I'm going to try a little bit of it. Is that all right?
It's all right.
All right. So, but it's, you never know where death is. Nobody knows. Even the Son of Man, he doesn't even know. He don't know where the time when God shall return again. Are you ready? Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready to face him in judgment? If you don't, why don't you come? Come now. This may be the last time. Oh, this may be the last time. This may. Will you come to the Lord? Oh, Lord, it may be the last time. I don't know. You know that this may. Why don't you walk out this morning? Don't be afraid today. Come to the Lord. Come to him. He said, if you stand for me, I'll stand for you. He said, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. Why don't you come to him today? I don't know. You know that this may. Don't let the devil hold you back. The devil's telling you, no, no, don't go today. Don't walk out today. But you don't know where death is. The devil doesn't want you saved. He wants you to be lost. Will you come to him today? Be the last time. I don't know. You know that this may be the last time. We don't know where death is. But it's one thing for sure, that death is certain for us all. It's coming for us one day. Will you be ready? You may be seated.
Be the last time.
I don't know. You know that this may be the last. Oh, this may be.